You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson. And as always, thanks for tuning in. We had a lot of change in last year's municipal elections here in Detroit, and that was especially true on city council, which saw a huge turnover of its membership not a full decade after it had seen another huge upheaval in its membership. City Council has also been rocked by corruption probes and criminal charges in recent months and years. And this City Council will, of course, have six new members and only three incumbents returning. So who will be in charge? Who will lead the city's legislative branch into the future? We learned recently that the president of the City Council will be Mary Sheffield, who represents the east side of Detroit and has been on the council now, I believe, for two terms. Mary Sheffield, welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, it's great to have you back here. Let's start with congratulations. I was a little surprised to see the news that you were elected city council president. I had always heard that you were not interested in that role. So let's start with you talking about what made you decide to try to become the city council president this term.
Well, you know, I've served for 8 years on council, and I've learned a lot. I've served on various committees, except for two. I've served under the leadership of city council president. I started off as a regular member, then became the pro tem. And really learned and gleaned a lot from our former council president on leadership and really how to conduct efficient city council meetings. When I heard that she was no longer going to be running for council and that she was retiring, I thought it was a good opportunity for me to step up in the midst of a lot that has been happening on the city council, as you mentioned, with corruption and scandals and just really trying to maintain and build upon the reputation that Brenda Jones had set forward for city council. We have six new members that were going to be on council, so I feel like we needed someone who kind of had some institutional knowledge to really lead this council. And I thought it was a good challenge, not just for me, but also just what I believe I can bring from a leadership standpoint. And so I changed my mind and thought it would be a good idea to run, and my colleagues entrusted me to continue to lead us forward on city council. And I'm just looking forward to what I believe this council can do. I think that we, unfortunately, have had a very dark cloud over city council, but I'm looking forward to kind of restoring the faith in city council and the respect in council. We do a lot of work, a lot of great work, and we play an integral role in the revitalization of this city. And I want that to be the narrative of the work that we do, the hard hours that we spend down here at the council building, and the good sound legislation that we pass. I want that to be the story instead of stories of other things. So I'm looking forward to the challenge. I'm looking forward to all of the perspectives and ideas that the various council members have as we move forward in moving Detroit forward.
Yeah. So I do want to talk about a number of those issues that you referenced there, but I wonder if the change on council, the number of seats that turned over and the number of new members that we'll have, was one of the things that inspired you to change your mind about running for council president. I mean, there's going to be a really different dynamic, and there will be a lot of folks who have a steep learning curve to figure out how to serve Detroiters on the city council. Was that one of the things that figured into your calculations?
A little bit, most definitely. I mean, you know, no matter how much experience you have, I think, you know, city government is one of those things where you really have to be entrenched in it. You have to be here to really learn it. And there is a huge learning curve. I mean, the last 2 weeks have been an eye-opening experience just for me as city council president. and the new members, right? So my primary focus right now has been just making sure that the new council members are adjusting and transitioning effortlessly and easily as possible into these new positions. So, I mean, with six new members, there's a huge learning curve. We also have a lot of institutional knowledge within some of our legislative policy division here in the city council. We're losing a lot of people that have been here and provided guidance to council. So I just think having someone who had been here was important as we continue to lead the city forward.
Yeah, yeah. So I do want to talk about your tenure so far on council, which I think it has stood out among council members. You have taken a really progressive approach to many of the issues in the city and to legislation. And at times when you needed to, you have really stood up to some of the things that Mayor Mike Duggan has decided that that he wanted to do. So as we go forward here in the beginning of your third term on council and with you as president, give us an idea of some of the things that you think are top priorities in terms of policy and approach, you know, as the city continues to change. And of course, as we have a lot more money right now to address some of our problems, what's on your mind that the council should be really focused on?
Well, I know that collectively I've heard from a lot of members that, you know, job creation and responsible contracting, affordable housing, and just economic growth in general is important. We want to continue the momentum that we're seeing in our city. And so how we get there, I think we all have various perspectives and ideas of what that looks like as it relates to equity and inclusion. But I think we all have a common goal, of course, moving Detroit forward. I'm going to never shy away from standing on my core values and belief of equity and inclusion. If that sometimes counters what the administration is proposing, I think there's a way that you can challenge, which we are supposed to do as the legislative branch. We can challenge, right, in a way that's not adversarial, in a way that doesn't cause, you know, just unnecessary drama, right, that brings that idea of here's another circus that we used to have in the past with council. And so I believe that we are going to have healthy discourse, healthy dialogue, be able to challenge the administration and make sure that things that are coming before council actually create tangible results for Detroiters as we continue to move forward in our city.
Yeah. I'm talking with Mary Sheffield, the new president of the Detroit City Council, talking about her agenda as she starts her third term, her first as president, and the things that need to be addressed here in the city of Detroit. We'd love to hear from you as well. What questions do you have for new Detroit City Council President Mary Sheffield? How do you think the city of Detroit can become a better place for all of us to live and work and play? What do you hope politicians in the city will do to improve the quality of life for people who live here, especially? As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page, put comments there, or you can go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we'll work you into the conversation. Let's start today with Gene in Detroit. Gene, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Madam President. I'd like to ask you, why not utilize the nuisance abatement repair to own ordinance to compensate many of the citizens who are overtaxed on their properties, particularly the ones who lost their properties through tax foreclosure?
So Gene, I guess just to be clear, what you're suggesting is that the fines that the city could collect through that nuisance ordinance from people who are not keeping up their properties could be then redirected to the people who were overtaxed and who lost their homes. Is that what you're suggesting?
That and the fact that there are many properties that are in the land bank inventory that are sound and repairable and could be used to compensate many of the victims of overtaxation.
Right, right. Gene, really appreciate the call and the question. Mary, go ahead.
Yeah, actually would like to respond, and I'm glad he mentioned that, because I've done a lot of work on the issue of overassessments in 2019. Myself, along with the Coalition for Property Tax Justice, released about a 45-page report on recommendations to solve the issue. In that report, not only did we talk about direct compensation, we also talked about in-kind services like home repair grants or using the land bank to provide free homes or grant assistance to rehab homes for individuals. So we definitely considered that. Unfortunately, the previous council was not able to collectively come up with a solution. And so we are prioritizing that actually with this new council. We have a forum that is taking place, a virtual forum that I would love to invite your listeners to, that will take place this Saturday from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., where we have all the elected officials on city council are invited. We're going to have breakout rooms. We're going to go over some of the proposed recommendations that were in that report, some of the recommendations that the administration has put forward previously in their resolution that did not pass before council, and kind of just vote and see where people stand on the issue as far as remedies to the issue of overassessment. So I appreciate the caller for calling in, and I failed to mention that this actually is a top priority for me as well, is addressing the issue of overassessment. I mean, there's been a lot of different remedies. I've heard, you know, offering tax credits to future tax bills and the amount that individuals were overassessed. I've heard direct compensation. We've talked about home repair grants and land bank homes. So we just have to really come together collectively and figure out what is the best option. Or maybe do we just offer a menu of options and let Detroiters who were impacted decide? So I can tell you that this council has all really expressed interest in this issue, and we plan on taking it up for sure at this forum this Saturday and then collectively moving forward as well.
Yeah, I also want to remind listeners that you sponsored a set of policy proposals that you call the people's bills last term. I wonder if you can update listeners on what those are and where they stand.
Yeah, wow. We've done an amazing job, not just myself, but I think it was a collaborative effort with community organizations and leaders and my colleagues. I mean, we've passed pretty much all of the people's bills. We still have some pending. Right to counsel is one that we're currently working on now. That deals with giving free legal assistance to our indigent families and residents so that they are not faced with eviction. And so we actually have an ordinance that is drafted now, ready to go. We're just having some issues with the source of funding. But things like affordable housing was approved, which creates an ordinance that sets aside all new housing. Rental housing has to be 20% affordable. 20% of the units have to be affordable. We've passed the Housing Trust Fund, which is a fund set aside solely for our very low-income residents in Detroit. And when I say low-income, I'm referencing individuals whose AMI are at 50% and below, which we know it really is the greatest need for housing in Detroit. So we were able to accomplish that. We also were able to accomplish the homeowners property tax assistance ordinance, which was a part of the people's bills, which really allow individuals to have easy access and create a more streamlined process for the homeowners property tax program, which is an exemption on your property taxes if you are below the poverty level. We also passed the community input over government surveillance ordinance, which was a part of the bills, which deals with, you know, making sure that council is properly informed and allows community the opportunity to have a say-so on government surveillance that is placed throughout the city of Detroit. We also were able to get the Neighborhood Improvement Fund form, which was a part of the Detroit Pistons moving to Detroit. So all of the income tax from the players are set aside into a fund that can only be used outside of the downtown area, only in our neighborhood. So that fund was approved and money has been allocated to it. And things like the 51% local hiring ordinance that I had been working on is still pending. We're still looking at ways to implement that. But the majority of the people's bills have been passed, but we also have been adding. I mean, you know, there's a lot of issues that face Detroiters, and we want to continue to address those issues and elevate the voices of those who are crying out for help. And so we've added things to the people's bills as well, too. The residential parking for Detroiters was passed. That was a part of the people's bills. That gives Detroiters a discount on their $40 parking ticket if you pay it within 5 days, right. Which was a huge issue for a lot of people. So myself and my council president were able to get that passed as well, too. So that was just a couple of them. And again, we have a lot of great proposals and ordinances that we're looking forward to move forward coming this year.
Yeah. Okay, when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with new Detroit City Council President Mary Sheffield. We'll also continue to hear from you on the phones and on social media. Denise in Detroit, Joanne in Detroit, Kenneth in Midtown. We'll hear from you, as always, if you want to join them. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today. Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. I'm talking right now with Mary Sheffield, who is the new president of the Detroit City Council. We're talking about what's on her mind, what's on her agenda for this next term on council. We want to hear from you about what you think council ought to be doing and focusing on. As always, the number here on the phones is 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. You can go to social media as well, put comments there, and we'll work you into the conversation. Mary, I want to start this part of the conversation with a question from Anthony on social media. He asks about DDoT. Of course, we've had some real issues and challenges with DDoT, partially because of the pandemic, but also because of mismanagement of our transit system here in the city. Right before the elections last year, I had Mayor Mike Duggan on the program, and I asked him what his biggest failure was as mayor, and he said it was DDoT, that the problems there he had not been able to solve. He hadn't been able to come up with ways to make it better for people. I wonder what you make of the current state of DDoT and what you think council can do to make it run more effectively for Detroiters.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the question. And I can tell you that that is a constant call that we get to council all the time about the need to improve and add additional funding to DDoT. I'm a huge supporter in public transportation and believe that we do need to increase funding towards DDoT. And so that is something that I will be looking at and focusing on. In fact, I just reached out to an organization that handles under CDAT that does DDoT transportation and really organizing around the issue just to get a better understanding of the specific needs that people are requesting. And so, I wholeheartedly support an increase in the funding for DDoT and looking forward to those conversations as we move forward in the budget season, which will start around sometime in March, early March.
Yeah. Of course, we also have a number of questions about the corruption scandals that have occupied council members' time in recent months. I wonder what you make of those and what you make of the responsibility, perhaps, of the president or the ability of the president to push things in a different direction. Is that part of the job as president, to try to set a tone that is zero tolerance for the kind of corruption that we're seeing right now?
Most definitely. Most definitely. I think it is a part of the president and colleagues to set a tone and to be an example that we are held to a certain standard, that integrity and decorum and civility and effectiveness should be the norm with any democratically elected body. And I plan on leading that way. You know, it's unfortunate when someone is investigated or some type of scandal comes out. We all take a hit to be quite honest with you. I mean, I've been in rooms and conversations where the finger is pointed at all council members when one person is accused. And so it doesn't do any of us any good as far as advancing forward the reputation of the work that city council does. And so I plan on leading with integrity, making sure also that council members have the appropriate training around ethics, which you should and should not do, and making sure that that is easily available for council members to understand, especially the new members who are coming on board as well. But it's very important to me, and I think that as a leader that I will continue to stand firm that it is no nonsense, zero tolerance, and that my colleagues also embrace that mindset as we move forward and lead in Detroit.
Do we need an ethics overhaul in Detroit? One of the candidates for city council this last cycle, Mike Elric, who ran in the 4th district, I believe, said that we should do this differently. New requirements for financial disclosures, for instance, was one of the things that he talked about. Do you feel like we need to revisit the rules as it pertains to council members?
I don't necessarily know if the rules need to be to be changed. I do think that there needs to be adequate training on the current rules in place. And I think that's something that, you know, you can't get enough of, right, of making sure you understand what you should and should not be doing. So I think just creating an environment where council members, elected officials have the appropriate training around ethics, I think is important as it relates to moving forward and what elected officials should and should not be doing.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go to the phones here. Let's start with Joanne in Detroit. Joanne, what's on your mind?
Yes, good morning.
Hi. Go ahead.
I'm a resident of District 5. Good morning, President Sheffield.
Good morning.
And my concern is this. The very unequal development going around in the city of Detroit, the fact that in my neighborhood, Council President Sheffield knows that a community partner of the land bank had a few people sign non-disclosure agreements, and then they planned this big development for my block and purposely excluded me and other impact residents. And then yet this city council, the last city council voted 8-0 for this development. So I don't know how you can say you're for equity when that underlying process was so inequitable. And from the budget meeting last night, it was real clear that a huge part of the budget goes to the city's priorities. And I was waiting for a planning study in my neighborhood for 7 years since 2015, and we kept being told, oh, we don't have money for the planning study, you know. And I see it's just not true. It was a matter of priorities. So this administration is the one I fault the most.
So, Joanne,
planned in secret, and yet this mayor campaign saying, let's build Detroit's future together. So I have a real problem with this council talking about equity issues.
Yeah. Joanne, I want to give the council president a chance to answer. I don't mean to cut you off, but I think I get the point of what you're saying. That, and I want to broaden your inquiry here. This tension over developments in neighborhoods and who benefits from those developments is a very common concern of Detroit's, not just Joanne, who has, I think, a very specific concern in her neighborhood. Mary, can you talk about the ways in which council deals with these things and, you know, the rest of the city government?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it just takes me back to the time where we had public discussion around community benefits. What is the appropriate threshold that actually triggers these binding agreements between the city and developers? It's a conversation that I think we still need to continue to have. I think that we are nowhere where we should be as it relates to community engagement. I mean, we've made some progress, don't get me wrong, but I think we have a lot more ways to go. But I think when developers come to the table, I mean, council has to just do its job at making sure that we're requiring that certain community benefits are met, that we're continuing to advocate for the needs of that community. Me and Joanne agree on probably mostly everything. You know, it's just that one project that we did not see eye to eye on. And I'm going to continue to work with Joanne around the issues of equity and inclusion, which I stand firm on my record of supporting that here in our great city. So we did revisit the Community of Benefits Ordinance last year with the previous council. There were some small changes made to that ordinance, but I know there is a desire for some of the new council members to open it up again and see if there's ways to continue to strengthen what that ordinance is and how it directly impacts both developers and communities as relates to equity and inclusion.
Yeah. Again, Joanne, thanks very much for the call and the question. Let's go to Denise in Detroit. Denise, I've only got about a minute left, but I want to get you in here. Go ahead.
Thanks very much for the call.
Denise, you probably need to turn your radio down, too. Are you there, Denise?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, I've only got a minute left, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to say congratulations to the new council members, to Mary Sheffield as president, and just hopefully it'll be a good year and no more corruption within the council, and hopefully everything is all good.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I appreciate that. Appreciate that call, Denise. Okay, Mary Sheffield, I really want to thank you for coming on and talking with our listeners about your new post and your plans. Also, again, congratulations. I know that your father and your grandfather, both of whom have spent years and years, decades here serving the city, are really proud of what you've accomplished. And we really look forward to seeing what you'll do as our president. So thanks very much for being here.
I appreciate you, and I will keep you posted and looking forward to coming on in the future.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, that is going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when I'm going to talk with author Anna Sale about her book, Let's Talk About Hard Things, a practical, profound guide to talking about the things we'd rather not discuss. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station, your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.